coming in and out on the microphone, or is that just me? It's just me. My hearing's going, but not as bad as Marcia's. Marcia walked in the house the other day with Rachel, and I heard her say, "Your dad getting where he can't hear. Can't hear me at all. I don't think he hears me at all." And she goes, "Watch." So from the door, she goes, "Hi, honey." She looked at Rachel, and she walked a little closer, about halfway. She goes, "Hi, honey." And then she looked at Rachel, and she walked all the way around in front of me, goes, "Hi, honey." I go, "I said hi, honey, three times." Didn't really happen. I just kind of made that up right here on the... So, golly, I just feel a little goofy this morning. Have a message for you I think is very relevant. It comes from the Old Testament. I got to tell you, I love the Old Testament. I love it. I love stories. You know me. I love stories. Love to tell stories. I love to hear your stories. My favorite thing to do as a pastor is sit down and have a hamburger with you and hear stories and just see what the Lord has done for you, what he plans to do, how I can help with that. Old Testament is full of great stories. And when I read these stories, I think these guys lived 2,500 years ago, 2,000, 3,000, 3,500. What was life like for them? What was like life when they sat down to have a hamburger together with their friends? Or what was the challenges and the struggles? What really was it like? Did they have the kind of stress we have? And I like to look at those stories and go, now, how did they tackle life? How did they walk with the Lord? What did their faith look like? And does it speak anything to me today? It always does. I love these stories. They just feed me in my soul. My spirit kind of is encouraged because I gain things from them. And as I'm going to tell you a story about a king named Asa, A-S-A. His grandpa was Solomon, and his dad, I forget his name, but you know, Solomon was a good godly man. His dad was a good godly man. So when this boy became king, he did good. His son was Jehoshaphat. So you know how Jehoshaphat did. He was an awesome man of God. So this guy comes from good air and a good pedigree here. But he has there's some things he does that are really speak good, positive to me and encourage me. And I want to share these things. And as I looked over this message, I told Marcia and Amy last night, we were having dinner. I said, I got to go home and work up a message, a sermon, because I had this story and it just seemed dull. The sermon seemed dull. The story's good. I got to go home and do something with it. So I did. I could have just told you like the 3 points from this message about King Asa, and you'd have probably forgot. But if I change this up a little bit and make it maybe, I want some terms, maybe y'all will walk out of here and go, I think I really get it, and I think I remember it. So I'm going to title this message, It's a Beaver's Life. You've heard the phrase, it's a dog's life. What does that mean? Dog has a good, easy life, right? He just lays around and eats and drinks and lays around some more, doesn't have a job, doesn't have a lot of responsibilities. I looked at this story about Asa, and there was correlation for me between a beaver's life and his good life. And so we're going to talk about beavers, okay? I've even got a picture of him. Here is Bucky Beaver, cute little guy, and he looks like you. What I mean by that is the life that he's enjoying is the life that's available to you, all right? So to get us fired up a little bit, turn to the person next to them and say, hi, Bucky. Go ahead. Hi, Bucky. Look at that. You guys crack me up. You'll do anything. I just love you. I love you. I really do love you. All right, let's jump in. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Well, we're going to pause several places. What kind of Christian, what kind of believer was he? He's a good one. He did the right things in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. Let's pause. You know, when the Israelites moved into the Canaan land, the Canaanites lived there. They had to remove them. And the Canaanites were pagans. They didn't believe in the one true God. They had a God for everything. And the Lord said, remove them out. And all the leftover religion, get rid of it. It will distract you. It'll discourage you. Do the right thing. And Asa does that. He goes in there and he gets rid of these old rock monuments and these poles. They'd take a tree or put a pole in the ground and they'd carve faces on it and stuff and put markings on it. They represented gods. They had these Asherah poles. And he cut them down. He cut them down. Asherah pole was the goddess Asherah. Okay? He commanded Judah to seek the Lord and the God of their ancestors and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. Those incense altars were the ones they, pagans, burned incense and worshipped or prayed or whatever they did. He built up the fortified cities of Judah, and since the land was at peace, no one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest. Notice that the rest followed him doing the right things. He didn't do all those good things, removing the remnants of other gods, removing the evil things, tempting things. He didn't wait till God gave him rest to do that. Okay? I guess we could go home right now, couldn't we? We heard something from the Lord. All right. Let us build up these towns, he said to Judah, and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Asa had an army. Well, let me pause. A lot of years of this man was a king, I think, 39 years. And a lot of them were really good ones. Lots of peace, lots of prosperity. But no life is that easy all the time. Even beavers. Beavers have a good life, but there is some work. There is some struggle in life in this world for all of us. But there was a time when, a couple of times when things came against Asa, and here is one here. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah, equipped with large shields and with spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin, armed with small shields and with bows. All these were brave fighting men. I mean, you put the 300 with the 280, 580 sounds like a pretty big army. Zerah the Cushite marched out against them with an army of thousands upon thousands. What's 1,000 times 1,000? It's 1,000,000. I don't know really what the math is here, just thousands and thousands. It's bigger. It's a more vast army than the Israelites had. And 300 chariots. They came as far as Marishah. Asa went out to meet him. And they took up battle positions in the valley of Jephthah near Marishah. Then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there was no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, Lord our God, for we rely on you. Underline that in your head. We rely on God. And in your name we have come up against this vast army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let men prevail against you. Is that not significant? He didn't pray like others prayed. Lord, help me to overcome them. Lord, we pray that you will help my life. This man says, Lord, don't let them prevail against you. That indicates his priority and his understanding about God. This man realizes, Lord, this battle is not mine. It's yours. Lord, you put the Israelites in this land. You didn't say we wouldn't have enemies, but you said that you would remove them, that you would be the one that would do the fighting. My friends, That is our message today. Whatever your fight, and you have them, the proper fight is to let God do it. Let God do it. Let's go on. See how this ties in with beavers. The Lord struck down the Cushites before Asa and Judah. The Cushites fled, and Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar. Such a great number of Cushites fell that they could not recover. They were crushed before the Lord and his forces. Wait a minute. Whose forces? Asa's forces? Now, Asa's, and it also said that the Lord struck them down. You see, the Bible here is trying to make the point that the battle is not ours. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's the one with the plan. He's the commander in chief. The Bible says, devote our life to him and let him direct our steps. The Bible says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The battle is not, God didn't put us here and say, okay, do the best you can, New Beginnings. Do the best you can, Wayne. Do the best you can, Crystal. And I'll see you in a few decades. He said, come follow me. My burden is light. You got a heavy burden, give it up. Take it off. Put it down. Just follow me. You don't have to be in charge. You don't have to be in charge of the outcome of your life. Trust me, and I will do that. Let me fight. They carried off a tremendous plunder. They were outnumbered, and yet God fought. Now, I know that the Israelite armies, they had to go out there and swing some swords. But the battle was so outnumbered in their favor, it was clearly God. And that's what God wants to do for you. Beavers. Beavers. You're beavers. This is really like beavers. The point number one is, beavers don't make it rain, and they don't even try. Beavers have a pretty good life in Missouri, and particularly on Taneycomo Lake. I've seen them out there. I've seen them on Bull Shoals. I've seen them on Table Rock Lake. They got it pretty good. There's plenty to eat. Huh? And you've had them on your dock, haven't you, Mike? Yeah, others have had them on their dock. They are hard to get rid of. They're big and just kind of do what they want. There's plenty to eat out there. Have you ever seen, they like to build dams, right? They like to make rivers into dams and then they have a place to hide, place to live, and plenty to eat. On Table Rock Lake, I don't know if they eat trout. I know the otters do, but man, there is lots for beavers to eat over there. And they don't fight. You know, if you get close to one, what they do? They flap their tail, they just sound the alarm, and they take off somewhere else. They don't fight. They don't have to make the rain to make the creek or the river to make them a place to live. And that's why beavers are a good example for us. We try to solve the problem. We try to make the rain. We try to be God. We try to take charge and make everything work out. And God says, I made the rain. You just eat. And you just build your little huts. And you let me be God. Now, I could have said, you know, we could just, the point here is let God do the fighting. Don't try to make all your outcomes work out perfect. But y'all would have forgot that by the time you hit the parking lot. But you might remember that beavers don't make the rain, okay? Some of y'all are looking at me like, yeah, okay, that's right. And how many beavers are there on Taneycomo? I asked an expert. We have an expert in this church. His name's Brian Loftus. Brian is at a men's conference this morning. Don't know if I see his family is here, but he is a trapper. I've been trapping with him. We've trapped Taneycomo and gone after beavers and coons and muskrats and otters. And some of you may not like that. I'm sorry, but they are worth about $20, but they're a lot of fun to camp. But anyway, there's hundreds of them out there. You didn't know that, did you? And not a one of them made Taneycomo Lake. I better move on to point number two. Point number two. Point number two is this. Beavers enjoy lakefront property. They do, don't they? They didn't even have to make it. And they didn't have to do anything, but they just enjoy this. Verse 15. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him." Let that settle in. Here's a prophet coming out and telling him, "Man, the Lord is with you. It's kind of obvious. You're enjoying a beaver's life. And it's because you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." What do beavers do? What are they known for? Building dams. And you are, they're also, there's a phrase, as beavers, busy as beavers. Now, this is a point here for us. This is, Asa enjoyed this good beaver's life, but Asa was busy. Asa did good. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He took steps. He planned things. He engineered like beavers. He was diligent like beavers. Asa did what was good in the eyes of the Lord. That's the point, beavers. It's one thing to say, "Lord, this fight is yours. This struggle I'm in is yours, Lord. This person that I have in my life that's creating me stress, a problem, this is your fight, Lord." But then, like beavers and like Asa, we're to get busy. Start doing something. If you're facing a trial, if you're facing a war, yes, let the Lord fight for it, but that doesn't mean we don't want to stay busy doing the right things. If you're having a struggle right now, you know what my suggestion is? Start doing some good things in your life. Now, I could have said point two is pray. That's a good thing to do. Pray more. Read your Bible more. Go to church more. But that, you would have forgot all about that. Beavers are busy. And the Lord was with Asa because he was with the Lord. He was doing good things. So that, my friends, Asa 2,500 years ago speaks to us today. Work through the storm. Don't sit. Stay busy. What do you need to do? For example, maybe this battle that you're in is with a person. Maybe there's someone in your life that's the source of difficulty. No show of hands here, but it could be your spouse. Your husband could be that man that causes you difficulty, or your wife, or maybe a child, one of your children. Maybe it's a boss. You fill in the blank. The Lord says let him fight that out for you, but in the meantime, continue to work like a beaver. Continue to do good things. If your problem is your spouse, what's the Bible say that you can do? Be busy. How about this one? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. He gave himself up for her. Continue to do that. Wives, give your husband respect. That's the good thing that you can do. Your problem is as a child. Do you plead in prayer with the Lord every day? Every day. Maybe it's a boss. Do you look for ways to overcome evil by doing good? You fill in the You fill in the blank there, Beaver. Some of y'all are looking bucky as I look at you right now. You're getting it, aren't you? You're getting it. Okay. Number three. Beavers cut down trees. That's what they do. They cut them down. They use them to build dams. They use them to eat. They'll chop them up and take parts of them to their little home, their little beaver dam, where when it's frozen over outside, they've got something to eat. They continuously are chewing on trees. Have anybody seen these things around? You know, have you seen trees around the lake shore? You've seen them, Wayne, where beavers will take on a tree that big and they'll get it gnawed all around and wait on that tree to die. They cut down poles. That's how they lived. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Obed the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. He went and cut down the Asherah poles. One of the things he even did, it says he deposed his grandmother, who was the queen of the nation there. I don't know why they had a queen, but that was a dumb idea. And she had an Asherah pole. Did that sound really bad? It did sound bad. Well, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible it says I have a queen. That's why I say that. I'm not against women. I have a woman, and she's my queen. Man, I just can't help myself up here sometimes. Anyway, I looked up this word Asherah. You know, a lot of it gets this. There's a lot of pagan gods, god for cows and sheep and growing green beans. They had a god for all those things, and they had a name for that god. And they finally just figured out, well, let's just have one big mother god who gives birth to all the other gods. And that would be Queen Asherah. And that's who Asherah was. And it went as far as to say that because she gave birth and brought life, she would be God's wife. How about that for ignorant? And so foolish. We just contrive things in our head. And that speaks to me today. I'm wanting to be the kind of beaver who says, I don't have to make the rain. I've got a God who makes the rain. I've got a God who provides and fights for me. I don't need another God. And that speaks to us today, children. We will try to let someone else be our God or something else be our God to fight our battle or to put our trust in. If you're putting your faith and your trust in anything other than God, you're leading yourself astray. Money. We said up here. Money is not what we treasure in our heart, not if our heart's right. We treasure God in our heart, and our money is nothing but an instrument, a blessing from God to be used for God and for us to bless others and His work. We put our trust in what is truly our God, and we don't want to contrive something else like an Asherah. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. The Lord's temple had been in somewhat of repair since Solomon had built it. The nation of Israel had split into two divisions, like north and south. They had a tremendous civil war. It was pathetic. It was terrible. They killed 500,000 of each other on one battle. It's awful. And that kind of stuff happens because they're not in the Lord's house taking care of the Lord's house. They let the Lord's house begin to deteriorate. There's the message, Christians. Don't quit going to the Lord's house. It's the Lord's church. Church is God's idea. This wasn't my idea. No other pastor thought up church. God did that. He knew it was good. He knew it was something we needed. Keep repairing your religion in your home. Keep tending it. He started with the altar. The altar is where you meet with God. If you're going through a struggle, if you're in a battle, and you're wanting the Lord to fight this battle for you. Keep cutting down the Asherah poles. Anything you've contrived in your mind to put your trust in other than God. And keep your religion in good shape. It's a church of beavers. I see it. I love you, every one of you. You're doing great. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. Let me finish one little thing. Stress. That's where we wind up if we're not really applying these things. If we're trying to fight the fight rather than letting the Lord fight it. You know what that brings in our life? Stress. Think of it this way. There's this, it's like a thermometer. And up here at this point here is like, I can trust the Lord up to here. Now, other issues in my life, up above that mark, I'm trying to fight these fights. I've got Asherahs in my life. Things I really treasure more than the Lord. And I'm not really tending to my spiritual life like I should be. You know what that zone up there is called? The one above, trust the Lord, and up here in your own effort, you know what that's called? The stress zone. You're not to live in the stress zone. Stress is a killer. Maybe today you feel the weight of stress in your life. Maybe today Asa has spoke by his life to you. Maybe you need to make some adjustments to your life. Do it. Beavers don't wait to be told. They just know to go and go to work. It works out good for them. They have a good life. And God loves you more than He loves the beavers. Really does. Father, thank You that You love us more than anything else You created. You did. You said that. When You made all the animal kingdom and the whole planet and the universe, You said that was good. And then when it came to Adam and Eve and You made man and woman, You said, now that's very good. That's really the sweet spot in Your heart. And so, Lord, You're saying, You can be the sweet spot in our heart. You say that You're with us as if we're with You. If we seek You, we work at this, we will find You. Someone today might be just sitting here saying, I've been living in a stress zone too long. I need to give that up. I need to let God fight. He's in charge of my life. I want to put Him in charge of my life. I'm going to rest in the Lord and take a lesser burden. Lord, maybe someone's saying, today I need to cut down some things and get them out. Let's do that. Let's don't wait. Another day is another day of stress, not being at peace with the Lord. Today, Lord, we want peace with You. And some of us are saying right now in my heart, Lord, here is my life. Here is my life, Lord. In my heart, I admit I need You. I admit that I've been living this and trying to do this on my own, and now today I want to surrender my life to Christ. I thank You for the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came and He lived and He died on the cross, but He rose up out of that grave, victorious. He was a winner over death, sin, and the grave. And He did all that because He loves us and wants to know us and us to know Him. So today, Lord, I commit my life to believing in You and following You. Here's my life. I give it to You. Thank You. For all of this, Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, some may have said that prayer for the first time in their life. Today's the day that you ask God to save you, come into your life. You gave your life to him, maybe the first time ever. That's something worth rejoicing over. It's something worth sharing. The Bible says that you should tell somebody, confess the Lord. And so before the day's over, man, be sure and tell somebody. Tell me at the back door. Tell your wife, your husband, tell your friend. Get on the phone, call somebody. Say, today at New Beginnings in Hollister, I gave my life to Jesus. It's important for you. It's important for your beaver stress-free life. Amen? All right, let's stand and sing with Josh.